has joined.
Good evening. Good evening.
Are you there?
I'm
broke
here.
Up. Okay, well, you broke up. I wasn't sure if I got disconnected.
I'm never sure if I'm connected, so. What's been going on for the last 2 days? I think it's definitely not good.
Randall.
But surely
has joined.
Through it. Surely they can see through it. I just can't believe they can't.
Well, I'm not sure who you're referring to as they.
People in general, you know, people watching.
Well, people in general are not seeing through it. They've been fooled for the conspiracy theories have been running rampant, and they've bought into it because they've heard it so many times. So anyway, let us begin. We're going to be studying, starting with Pasuk 333 and Parashah Vayera from the Sulam Commentary on the Zohar in section 24. L'shem Yichud Kutshabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate Beyichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maseya Dena Fenone Alena Maseya Dena Fenonehu. Pasuk 333. Egavna Daihu Lekata Lot Eat the Rash Me Avraham Pushaway the Urea Beyond She Sedom. Baditar Dina Beho Ikar Leavraham Ushla Lea Mitaman Vit Peresh Minaihu. In the same manner, what occurs in the upper worlds happens with the souls down below. Lot, who is the refuse of the right, separated himself from Abraham and dwelt among the people of Sodom, who are the refuse of the gold that comes from the left, and he achieved completion from them, as is explained in the upper worlds. When the judgment was aroused and they were overthrown, the Holy One, blessed be he, remembered Abraham and saved Lot. Thus Lot was separated from the unholiness of Sodom and returned to the holy side. My commentary, the Pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Essentially, Lot continues to support Abraham as the left supports the right. The left adds its strength, yet follows the directions of the right. This is after the evil inclination is cleansed and separated from the left. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I think your comments really added. That was it. Not it, but it was a wonderful.
It makes things clear.
Right. My first thought when I saw it was, well, Rod had chosen, you know, the richness of the look of the land. In other words, he looked toward physicality and gold being a left column. Metal is possibly a code word for the physical, at least in this frame of reference, and then knowing that because of Abraham being right column, you know, Hashem's mercy with Lot and being rectified. So, like I say, I thought you really said it well.
Well, thank you, but there's always more to know.
I know. I'm trying to skim it to see if I see something more, because I knew you would tell me that. Always something more.
I have to revisit what we talked about, or what you taught yesterday, about you can't mix the left with the right. They never get mixed. And I understand that statement. But here we're talking about Lot coming from the left, which he was an evil incarnation from Abraham's left side, let's just say. But then Hashem saved him from Sodom, which is the aspect of God. But then you made the remark that he was, which you taught yesterday, I believe, about how the God, the top, when you melt the God, there's a top layer that comes above it, just as silver does. So then you stated that he was cleansed of the negative, of the evil incarnation from Lot. So I'm trying to consolidate the both of them and bringing the left into the right. And my assumption is that you have to be cleansed, brought through fire, to be able to actually attach yourself to the holiness of the right.
The left column will always attract the negative system, and it combines with the negative system. It doesn't do it in a conscious level or on purpose, but if something is associated with the left column, then there is a klipa, the negative system, that is attaching itself to that thing. So when we speak of something being connected to the left column, we are also speaking, without saying it, that there's a klipa associated with that thing. In order to create the central column, the left column has to be cleansed of any aspect of the negativity, any aspect of the negative system. Until that is done, the left column will never agree to be dominated by the right column, which is necessary in order to become the central column. There truly is not a central column. But of course, there is a central column. But the central column, as we understand it, as it's being defined, the central column has left and right in unity. But it's the same thing in the endless world. There's light and vessel, but in the spiritual frames of reference, opposites cannot be unified. Light cannot be in that same location, as we've talked about today in the Sefer Yetzirah class. Light cannot be in the same location as vessel. But in the endless world, they are in the same location. That's a paradox. We have a law that says it cannot happen, and yet we're looking at it and we know it does happen. It's also true in our world. We can never be at that balance point. Why? Because the balance point is that point where the left that is purified is willing to accept domination by the right. That point moves in and out. It moves more further to the left, further to the right. It's in a pendulum state, moving to one way and then the other and then back and forth. There's no set place that's a point where the central column exists. It's either dominated by the left or it's dominated by the right. It never truly exists to be able to be permanent. That's why it's so difficult to be in balance in our lives. Because being in balance is a moving target. Something that is left column, like Lot, Lot is left column, but he is also the evil inclination, which is the left of the left column. But there's also a right of the left column, and that is Lot cleansed of the evil inclination. So Lot was acting as the evil inclination to Abraham. That's the way, metaphorically, the way the Zohar explains it. Lot is the evil inclination to Abraham. But Lot is also a human being with his own evil inclination. When Lot eliminates his evil inclination, then he can associate with Abraham. But when he is listening to his own evil inclination, he has to be separated from Abraham. Now, in the sense of the stories, Lot and Abraham separate nominally because the physicality can't support all of the animals that they have. Their herds are too large to be fed together. So Lot moves. He separates himself. And where does he go? He goes where the evil inclination wants to take him, to be associated with the people of Sodom. But he has these different aspects. His daughter died in this horrible way because of the people of Sodom. So at that point, he moves away from his evil inclination, of his own evil inclination, and he helps the angels. But the angels are sent by Hashem to save Lot only in the merit of Abraham. Because ultimately, as the evil inclination of Abraham, Lot can never die. As long as Abraham is alive, Lot cannot die, because he is the evil inclination for Abraham, and Abraham needs that evil inclination even if he's controlling it, not listening to it. So we have this process of Abraham and Lot come into Israel. Abraham goes down to Egypt. Does Lot go with him? We don't know. Lot may have stayed in Israel. Now Abraham comes back up because he's defeated the Pharaoh. So Abraham and Sarah come back up to Israel, and there's Lot again, acting as his evil inclination. And then they get into a trouble with each other's herdsmen. And so Lot separates. But now because of the death of his daughter, I'm surmising, because of the death of his daughter, he's woken up and he's cleansing his own evil inclination. And therefore, he becomes semi-righteous. And the angels are sent because he cannot be killed. He can't die because Abraham needs the strength of the left column in order to grow, in order to maneuver, in order to cope with the world. But now the Sodom is destroyed. Lot and his two daughters are saved, and they move from Zoar, where they said they wanted to go, up into the caves where they find the wine and so forth, and we have this beginning of Mashiach. But that could only happen if the klipot, the negative system, the left column of the left column has been cleansed. And what was that cleansing? It was the death of Lot's wife, turning her into salt. That was the cleansing. Because, again, relative to right column and left column, Lot is the right column and his wife is the left column. So she represents the klipot, which is the whole idea of why the snake seduced Eve, because she was closest to the left column, more close than Adam. It's all, everything I'm describing is a sense of relativity. And you have to think in those terms of the relative points. I hope this was clarifying for you, Malka.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome. Should I move on now to 334?
Okay.
Verse 34. Yain ashkiu leya benateya veolidu beho terain umin harikre amon vechadikre moav chad beit galya. Bechad beit kasya amon darga bileya milchom eita beit kasya moav darga dileya beor kola beit galya. His daughters made him drink wine, which is the secret of the primordial serpent. And they bore him two nations. One was named Ammon, which is hidden, and the other Moab, which is revealed. The great of Ammon is the idol Milcom, the advisor of concealment. The great of Moab is Peor, which is completely revealed. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The service of Peor is to defecate in front of a stick. And that's where we were discussing, is defecation revealed or concealed? Questions, comments, thoughts? You could also ask the question, what does it mean that his daughters made him drink wine? He had no choice. Shouldn't it have said his daughters gave him wine to drink? But the secret of the secret of the primordial serpent is coercion. Not living within free choice. Mm-hmm. I think I interrupted somebody.
Yeah, I think maybe he was just so distressed of losing all his possessions and his wife and daughter that they may have said, drink this wine, you know, to help him through his bad times. I don't know that, but that's what I'm thinking. Usually that's what happens with, you know, you're having a bad day, they say, oh, let's go get a drink, or oh, let's, you know, let's go get wine, or you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And it's very human.
Mhm. He could have been depressed too. You know how you start with a drink of wine with a meal, and he's lost his wife. And he, you know, that could have led him to drink more too, and one or two drinks, and they get happy. So then it goes a little further. What I kind of stood out to me was this: the idea his daughters made him drink wine. It's the part in capital letters by Rabbi Ashlag, which is the secret of the primordial servant. And I know in several places they give us hints as to what might have been the fruit that Eat ate. You know, we know it wasn't the apple. Sometimes they said it was the bread or wheat or the grape. But it made me think, if the primordial serpent knew the secret, and secret in wine having the same gematria, if it wasn't the grape or the wine that possibly he caused her to drink or eat, if there isn't a link there.
There isn't a link, or there is a link?
No, I said it makes me wonder. I know at one time I kind of thought that was the fruit, mainly because we see so many blessings and have the wine at so many of our simchas. And then, of course, even through the Zohar, we read that, you know, it could be other, even the idea that it was wheat, because wheat and chet, and sin being linked together. At this moment, it made me think, you know how manna could taste whatever you wanted it to taste?
Right.
Well, it makes me wonder if the fruit wasn't that same way. And somehow with the code of wine and secret being linked together with gematria, and the idea that was given to Eve to eat or drink, whichever. I just think that maybe there's a link there.
There is.
And another frame of reference in regard to the tree. And maybe a link to manna. You know, that just a little something. Those are the thoughts that went through my head.
Okay. I know, but there is a link between the primordial serpent and the drinking of wine. That's why people get drunk.
But at the same time, you know, we have at our Shabbat meal, and we're very frugal with it. I don't, you know, I've never been to a Shabbat dinner where someone got drunk.
Well, you've just never been to an Orthodox dinner with people who are from birth.
No, okay.
They drink, not only they drink wine at dinner, they drink hard liquor. Come on in. But I don't want to go on just because we're out of time. But
okay.
There are many Orthodox groups that they use as an excuse the joy of Shabbat to become so inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
That they just go to sleep.
I guess I'm just never around people like that. Even my friends in Israel were not that way, and they were Orthodox. So I just haven't had the experiences.
Yeah, there's the Jewish world has all types of personalities, all types of people. And mm-hmm. you congregate with the people that are similar to you. That's a human value. So I'm not surprised you haven't been exposed to people like that. And there was a reason that I was exposed to people like that, not because I was ever like that, but because I could help teach about it,
mm-hmm.
so that we understand it. Anyway. You all have a good evening, and we have a Zohar class in the later class tonight.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Well.